News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, America. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Yeah, we're here. Nick decided to escape somewhere. I don't know.
I heard there was some time travel involved. I want to figure out how he did that.
Well, I was wondering if there was a banjo concert.
Yeah, that could be.
You know, because a lot of folks don't realize Nick also plays the banjo along with many other things.
He plays the banjo?
Huh?
He plays the banjo?
Oh, yeah.
Not as much. None of this arthritis is worse.
Yeah, can't as much, but I mean, you know, I've seen Nick play the banjo. I've seen Nick in a dress.
That's not as surprising.
Well, what it was back in his day. Oh, there we go.
There you go.
He'd have a ball with us. Now, he was used to be involved with the theater quite a bit. And him and another gentleman did this two-person play. But Nick had to get dressed up in a dress for one of the characters in it. Looked pretty good. That could be scary. Okay, back to the computer news here, folks. A few things going on before we get into some of the calls. Microsoft says they're going to play nice.
Since when?
I saw this one and it's like, yeah, right. According to Microsoft, yes, they're in this antitrust lawsuit that they had back in 2002. Now, here, what? 4 years have already gone by, and, you know, it ends in 2007. They all of a sudden said, oh, yeah, well, I guess now we'll start to play nice. Uh-huh. What they're basically saying is, yeah, well, to all the OEMs, that's original equipment manufacturers, you're going to now have the capability that when you're shipping a PC, not to include all this other stuff that might be middleware that they usually required OEMs to throw onto the machines like HPs and all these others. You know, they just load them up with a ton of junk.
Like the Office 2003 trial. It's only good for about 90 days, and then they expect you to buy it.
Well, they get you suckered into it, yep. And then they want you to buy it, yep.
Well, we get folks, too, though. It came with the computer. Yeah. And how much did you pay for that extra software? That's why they're throwing it on there. What was it, 60 days, was it, Dan?
I think it's 60 or 90 days, something like that.
Yeah, you get to try it out, and then people were calling us. Well, it's broken. It's not working.
Yeah, Matt. Well, no, read the message clearer. It says your trial has expired.
Well, see, that's where the downfall is. A lot of folks don't take the time to actually read what's going on there when they sign up a lot of this stuff because it's just all there, and they don't realize that, you know, a lot of these things on there, sure, they came with the computer, but they're not free. They're free to try them out for X amount of days. What is it? HP that's been loading them up with all those games.
Wild Tangent
games and stuff. Well, and Wild Tangent has its own problems of being mostly spyware.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and that, I don't know if you have the other story about Microsoft is suing a couple of dozen retailers. It's in this multi-country sting. A lot of retailers will throw on the real version of Office and not charge the customer for it. They're basically giving them a pirated copy. Then the customers don't know any better because it's bad retailers doing it.
Right.
So Microsoft was able to track down several dozen of these retailers and are now suing them.
Well, that's why this is a double-edged sword, too. I know here in the U.S. we're complaining about it with this, the WGA. I don't know if you're seeing much of it, Steve, but we've been seeing quite a bit of it here in our shop where, it's Microsoft is just trying to help you.
By assuming you're a pirate.
Mm-hmm. Some of their help I could do without. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous that this stuff is on there and that they got to constantly check. I didn't need a babysitter. I got rid of using a babysitter when I think it was after 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, forget it.
Well, it's the old story about a few rotten apples spoil the... Does anyone remember that, you know, the old story? Old stories. I'm showing my age. Yeah, a couple of bad resellers and a couple of bad, you know, pirates, basically, out of the millions of people using computers, are just screwing it for the more legitimate people. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that you don't see many things copy protected anymore, is that it hurt legitimate users more than it hindered piracy. So now Microsoft has led the way, and a lot of companies are doing internet activation now. Mm-hmm.
Also, some hackers, they made a worm to mimic it.
It
looks just like the WGA security alert and mimics it exactly, shows the same screen.
So if you do read your screens correctly, you're going to think it's the real Microsoft WGA popping up, and it's really a worm breaking in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of hacks out there. And that's a sad thing, too. You bring up a good point, though, Steve. You know, back in the day, I mean, we're not talking that long ago, in the 80s and that, writing software for shareware and everything else was so big, and, you know, trying to promote these folks to get a lot of products. Because you got to realize, folks, a lot of these products started on a whim. Some of these utilities and everything else were just some inspiring code writer thinking, well, I could come up with a tool or this or that to do that.
And for a lot of years, that was the only way to get software. You had to write it yourself or find someone else that wrote it for you.
And then pay the nominal fee to, you know, help support them. Because, I mean, you know, it's fun. I wrote a program one time and, you know, you can't keep on writing it. It takes time and effort and testing and all this other stuff to write code. And then if nobody else is going to, you know, they're all going to take it and not help support you. You know, I mean, how many businesses would be in business today if they just gave everything away free? Not too many. You know, so it's just sad that freeware and all that isn't really supported, because a lot of strong companies and utilities could be out there if they had more support. Mm-hmm. From folks, you know, doing stuff.
Well, and there are some notable exceptions, too. Even here in Rochester, Ambrosia Software,
they
have a huge business of shareware. And they, you know, we're always continually amazed that they can support a company and offices and employees, and it's all shareware.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, really cool games and utilities, which is really neat.
Well, there's another gentleman that we have in the Rochester area also that does the crossword puzzles. Remember we had him on the show? It's been a couple years ago. And again, I haven't heard much about that. And again, it's all due to folks not taking the time to actually support folks that are doing it. Well, tell you what, we could ramble on here and grapes and everything else, but we got a caller on the phone, and this is Sal from Fairport. Hello, Sal. How you doing? Hello, Sal?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry. How can we help you?
I've got a problem. Last night I was using Camino, and the sound just suddenly disappeared. Everything else on the computer, I still have sound, just on the Camino browser.
That's weird, because you wouldn't think there's any audio controls in a browser.
Yeah. Now,
I was listening to some stuff from YouTube. And the sound.
Oh, so that's is YouTube, is that Java? It's probably one of the Java or Shockwave, one of those plugins.
It uses Flash.
Yeah. You could try uninstalling and reinstalling Flash. Well, I know Adobe just released a new version of Flash that might be
Flash
confusing
9.
People. So,
you think that might be because I just updated Camino and didn't seem to fix anything.
Try updating to Flash 9 because they just came out with that this past week. See if that fixes your problem for you.
Give it a shot, Sal, and let us know. All right, well, we got to take a short break here and got some valuable sponsors here that want to tell you about their products. So give them a good listen and support them. And we'll be back in just a little bit with Soundbites.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, Soundbites listeners. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
and you're listening to Soundbites. Steve, you said you had something there for sale.
Yeah,
as
I found a couple of links on a
couple other things.
Some programs not playing audio, but other programs do fine. There's a bug that some audio programs can accidentally set your sample rate higher than 48K. or people playing around in the sound control panel think bigger is better, so they set it higher than 48K. Standard stereo audio is 41K. And so some programs won't work if it's not set to 41K. So I posted a couple of links on the link list on how to set the sound control back to 41K. And it seems to be a fairly common problem with Flash and YouTube, because I actually saw an interview with a YouTube executive on CNN the other day, and YouTube's only been around for 8 months, and they've served billions and billions of people. You know, it's one of those almost overnight sensations about sharing video around. Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about the copyright problems, that most of the video there that's being shared is illegal because someone pulled it off a news story or pulled it off of some other piece on television. Yeah. So it's that catch 22. How much can you share without violating the copyright? And the answer is very little.
Yeah, I think that's going to open a big Pandora's box. Oh, Dan, you hit. We were talking before, you know, about different chips and that. And, you know, you've heard me talk, folks, how right now not much is happening, you know, as far as, you know, the next, of course, we got Pentium 4s. And you're hearing things dribble out here and there.
Well, they haven't called the next one the Pentium 5. They've got the Conroe and the Woodrow and Mercurium, is it? And
yep.
All the weird...
The dual cores.
The dual cores. And all that. Well, I think they're kind of still...
Well, They have the Core Duo from Intel, yeah. and now they're working on the Core 2 Duo. I liked Pentium 5 easier.
And what, we just heard about the AM2.
Yep, the AMD processor. Yeah, the big thing with that is it'll start using the DDR2 memory to speed up basically double the memory speed.
And so the chips themselves aren't getting that much faster, but all the subsystems.
Yep. They're finally taking out the bottlenecks of everything.
Well, that's the other thing I heard. Over there in Taiwan, they were really starting to ramp up and invest in some of the memory plants as far as making the silicone chips and that for memory, that, you know, they're going to try to get more universal. You know how right now so much of the memory depends on the make of the machine, that, you know, they've got to constantly... worry about what chipset in that you're using. Yeah. I don't know if you run into it on the Mac side.
Yeah.
But one memory stick that we run into might not work on one machine. Say we take what I'm talking about. Say we take a 256 DDR. Now, depending on the speed, it might work in one machine, but it might not work on the other, even though they can both handle, say, 266. Because they're so fussy on the way that they're clocked and everything else. Well, now if they can get standardized on one standardized way of doing things, that a 266 is a 266 is a 266 across the board.
Yeah. The wonderful thing about standards is there's so many of them to choose from.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem is even more compounded on the Mac world, because Apple likes to release radically different computers under the same name. You know, Power Mac has gone through a dozen different internal generations. And all the internal parts are almost completely different, even though the name is still Power. So we have customers call us, you know, I need to get RAM for my Power Mac. Which one? I don't know. What what clock speed is it? What slot architecture is it?
Yep.
Well, that's where Disney had it really coined real well, when he said, you know, fairy tales will come true.
Yeah. Yeah, in the PC world, most computers don't have a, you know, especially the home builds, don't have a model number or a model name. Oh, so it's even harder to find.
Well, that's the other thing, on the motherboards. Remember that one we were just looking for? They used to stamp them real well.
Yeah, you know, what RAM spec the motherboard needs.
Yeah, some of them don't even have the stamp, or it's...
The model number on the motherboard.
Yeah. You used to be able to tell by looking at the slot. Now all the slots look the same but have different specs.
Yeah.
So you pull the existing RAM out and hope it's marked.
Yep.
Okay.
But we're talking about designing chips. Yeah. There's some interesting news coming out this week with all the troubles in Israel and Lebanon. Intel has a design center in Israel, and it's where they're designing some of the next generation of chips. And you know, they're worried about getting bombed out. Apple has a dealer in Lebanon. You know, so they're interviewing the Apple Beirut, and they're trying to sell computers and worried about getting bombed out.
Yeah.
So it's disconcerting to hear what happens in other parts of the world that we forget about.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, sit there and worry about a shell coming in, you know, blowing up the shop or whatever.
Yeah, the Intel Israel employs about 2,300 workers in a city called Haifa. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and there was the Hezbollah fired rockets into a train depot in Haifa. So it's and on the other side, Israel's, you know, shooting rockets into Lebanon. So we got problems both sides.
But this is what's making me really wonder right now, because, you know, we keep talking about how, like you said, Pentium Fives aren't really coming out. Under that name, or even leaking out that there's going to be something big or that better to come out. You know, even with the delay of Microsoft, which I think most of the manufacturers have said the heck with them, because it used to be, all right, they'd get in line because they knew the next generation of operating system was going to be coming out. And, you know, they'd get their chips ready for it so they could take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the chip manufacturers are starting to say the heck with them. I mean, you know, they said that Vista was supposed to be ready by this fall. Now it's maybe next spring. And it depends also on another lawsuit.
It was supposed to be 2002. Originally, we had Windows 98, 2000, 2002 was supposed to be coming out. And here we are, 2007, and it may not make it out.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be a real squirrely game because, you know, a lot of the manufacturers were really hoping on Vista to be out to really up their sales for Christmas. And they're not going to have it. But now with the chip makers, they can now make a little bit more profit because of offering the different, you know, motherboards and everything else a little bit faster systems just working with Windows XP. But, you know, folks, that's why you got us. We're going to keep you in touch, you know, what's going on in the technology world and what's going to be the latest and greatest toys to play with. So you want to stay tuned to Soundbites on WHAM.
This is Arnold Palmer.
Stand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Nope, this is Dave Enright.
Dan Deary.
Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton.
Bringing you Soundbites. Nick is, who knows where, playing maybe banjo on a music fest or whatever, but no, you're stuck with us, folks. And we're going to go right to the phones, and we've got Dennis from Henrietta. Dennis, how can we help you, sir?
Well, right now I'm a prisoner to Soundbites and my cassette tape deck. I have to be here every Sunday at 11 o'clock to push the record button, and my girlfriend gets a little mad at me because she's got other things she wants me to do. How can I record this program on my computer, have it start automatically and me not have to be here?
All right, Dennis, here's a little secret. You don't have to.
We record the show for you, and you can just download it directly.
Except I've got to wait like a few days or, what, a week, almost a week before you guys put it on.
Well, I try to do it Sunday afternoon, but it depends on what my wife has in store for me.
So, you know what?
That brings out, we missed a show a couple of weeks ago when I was out of town. If someone has that recorded, let us know where we can put it on our server.
Dennis, you got to have your wife call Steve's wife. And maybe the two of them can sort it out.
Sure.
But
that's the other thing. If a show gets missed and doesn't get put on the air, then I miss the show completely.
Yeah.
So.
There are cassette decks you can buy that have timers in them. I know, Dave, you used to have one before the internet came along. But the other thing, too, is you can record off the WHAM stream.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. How
from
do I
your
do
computer.
That?
You need a recording program that has a timing feature built in.
Total Recorder.
Probably does under Windows.
I mean, Total Recorder is a great package. You can sit there and, you know, schedule something. And if you like it, I highly advise paying the $15. This is going back again to the shareware issue. The guy does some fantastic work. There's other things that you can do with Total Recorder that I use it for, like shrinking things down as far as size and all that, because with my 10 ears, I don't need stereo. But look into Total Recorder. I think you'll be very happy with that. And it might make both you and your girlfriend or wife or whomever Very happy on that issue, because then you can do what she wants you to do.
And on the Mac, there are
it.
Programs like Wiretap and what's the other one from Rogue Amiga? Audio Hijack that mm-hmm. will let you record audio that you're bringing in.
There's one right here. It's OPD2D audio recorder, and that's it basically records anything you hear from your speakers.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a number of things to do, so check them out and let us know how you made out. Next, we'll go to Jim in Webster. Jim, how can we help you?
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir.
What I have is an old e-machine, a 366 with Windows 98 on it. And it was getting really, really slow, so we decided to take your guys' advice and do the security tangle. And that worked out very well. And we switched over for virus programs to the Griffith AVG.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that and at the same time, we tried to get rid of the Symantec program, and it doesn't seem to want to let go. Whenever I'm in startup, I've deleted everything that I could possibly find with the moniker SYM, Symantec, anything that I could think of that would refer to Symantec and the program. And obviously, there's a bunch of things scattered around that don't relate to the name.
Right. What you probably want to do is if you go to the Symantec website.
We have links on our page already.
Or from ours.
How to manually uninstall Symantec programs.
Well, there's a removal tool.
There's a removal tool that works for most things, but then there's also manual instructions on what registry entries to find.
Yeah. If you go to Symantec's website, you can actually do a search for it's S-Y-M-N-R-T. And
Symantec
that is,
removal tool.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the removal tool that you can run to actually
and
get rid of.
It works for the different versions too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can more or less, Jim, just select from what version of Symantec you had on there, and it will remove it for you.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, and
I thought I typed in pretty much every combination that I could find. But
yeah, because I don't recommend
well,
a lot
just,
of folks going into the registry,
yeah,
though,
some of
that's dangerous.
Some of the entries are just SYM and not Symantec.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then there's real SYMs that you don't want to delete.
Yeah, they kind of bury it on there, but it is there.
Actually, they were talking about a VXD file that's missing.
Yeah, just go use that removal tool. I think that's safer. And you're probably going to get in a lot less trouble because, like I say, I don't like to recommend folks going into the registry unless they have a lot of experience with that because, you know, you could
one
wind up in
move,
a lot. Of, well, it's actually good for us. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
It could be more repair work for you than I do. But anyways, well, good luck with that and let us know how you make out. Next, we'll go to Rita and Victor. Rita, how can we help you?
Hi, I am investigating doing online meetings, and I recall at one point that Microsoft had a product called NetMeeting, but I've tried to find support for it, and I'm not finding it, and I wondered, A, what happened, and B, if there's a better tool to use for that.
Pretty much the regular meeting tools have succumbed to the instant messaging tools, AOL Instant Messenger, yeah. Yahoo Instant
Messenger.
The
MSN Messenger.
MSN Messenger.
That has the built-in...
And all of those can be run through the public internet. And one of the big things with NetMeeting is that you have to have a Microsoft server running mm-hmm. the NetMeeting server.
Another one of great Microsoft's ideas that just didn't go anywhere.
So if I wanted to share documents during a meeting, what would be the best tool to use for that?
Any of them.
AOL
Instant Messenger, Yahoo Messenger. AOL Messenger is probably the biggest one and has the most most third-party support and additional add-ons.
Jabber is another one.
Well, Jabber has its own server. One of the neat things about Jabber is that it can talk to all of the other services. So you can get a Jabber client and talk to MSN and talk to AIM and talk to Yahoo.
So this covers a wider range for you. So if you've got some people in MSN versus AOL... versus who knows what, you stick with Jabber, and it can talk to all of them.
And would everybody who's on the meeting be required to download software for whatever instant messaging service? Is that kind
yes.
of
yes?
Yeah,
talk?
They'd have to be running that also.
Okay. So yeah. There's not anything that would be common, because what I'm actually investigating is Adobe Breeze, which is probably really high-end, but it would allow things to run off of Flash.
Yeah, there are meeting softwares that work through web pages, and you have to buy it. You have to buy the server at your end, and then the client end has to download and install the plugin into their browser.
Yeah,
there is nothing that doesn't require software.
Okay.
Yeah, because even if it was, you know, Microsoft NetMeeting.
NetMeeting, yeah, the other end. Your clients have to install the NetMeeting client and configure the NetMeeting client. So, okay. Yeah, you need to have server or software at both ends.
So, you know, check those out and let us know how you make it.
The important thing is that most of the instant messaging programs are free, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So give them a shot and, like I say, have fun with it. Well, I'm hearing the tones, and Rob's kind of giving us the look after he got off his lounger there. That we gotta finally. Oh, thank you. I didn't recognize that call sign.
Giving a nice wave from his lounger.
Did we wake you up? Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll keep going. Anyways, you stay tuned, folks, and we'll take a few more calls when we get back. You're listening to Soundbites on WHAM.
4 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Well, he's partly right. This is Soundbites, and you have Dave Enright.
Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton.
Yeah, it's just that rhythm. It's Dave Enright, Steve Ray.
Just throws us all
throws
off.
Throws us off when someone's not here.
Yeah, really. Just out of sync. Glad to have Dan here helping us out. And we're going to talk to John in Canandaigua. John, how can we help you out today, sir?
I just bought a new Windows XP machine. Mm-hmm. And a question about the Microsoft Firewall. All the reading I do say it's not that great. I used to use Zone Alarm on Windows 98. Should I go back to Zone Alarm?
Probably.
I'd say most likely.
The Windows Firewall isn't bad. It blocks things from getting in. A lot of times it can block your own things from getting out. You have to configure it so it can let your services out. But it doesn't have the reporting that Zone Alarm does. It doesn't have a lot of the internal blocks once something gets into your machine trying to get out.
And here's the thing. All right, as far as, you know, the updates and everything else like you can get from Zone Alarm, you know, how often do you think Windows XP is going to be updating and patching the firewall and doing updates and blocking and everything else with that? Probably not too much. Plus, because that's not what they do.
Plus, another thing with the Windows firewall, if a hacker is going to write something, the very first thing they're going to do is write a virus or something to disable the Windows firewall because they know everybody's probably running that one. So with Zone Alarm, you're a lot more secure and got a lot more protection there.
Oh, I like the fact that, you know, when we're starting a program up or something like that, it comes up and says, hey, do you want to allow this?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're installing software or something else snuck in there, behind malware or whatever, it's going to prompt you and say, do you really want to let this through?
Although sometimes that's dangerous because some programs aren't named exactly right. You know, the big example is Microsoft Outlook and Outlook Express. The actual file name, the .exe name, is MSIMN, Internet Mail and News. So you try to open your email, and this, you know, window pops up. MSINN is trying to access the internet. You go, oh my gosh, what's that? And say no, and now your email stops working.
So
it's with the first time you install Zone Alarm, it's a little annoying. Every time you open a program, it pops up. But it's good because then you control what you want to have access to the internet, and warns you when something you don't know wants access to the internet.
Does that help you out, Jen?
Version of Zone Alarm fine?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we've got that. Matter of fact, if you go to the the Soundbites website and click on Security Tango, right there on the left-hand side, we have a link to the free version that works great, and I think you'll be very happy with it. Okay, let's go to Ann in Fairport. Ann, how can we help you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing ducky.
Okay, this is a dummy question.
No, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And you're already asking it, so it can't be a dumb.
Okay. Got a new computer, replaced the old one.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting these messages that Norton Ghost is going to expire, and my antivirus that came with it, PSilin.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need those? And do I have an option?
Well, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier.
A lot of PCs come with
demo software, and people think they're safe, and then the demos expire, and then their computer is unprotected. Now, the Norton Ghost is a program to allow you to back up all the files on your hard drive onto another hard drive. It's a good thing to have, but there are free programs that do the same thing, so you probably don't need to buy Norton Ghost.
Right. You can uninstall both of those products, and just like the previous caller, go to AVG. Or a couple callers ago.
PC Cillin is an antivirus program, and a lot of PCs come bundled with either a trial version of Norton, a trial version of McAfee, a trial version of something. And it's that trial version that people don't realize, so when it expires, your antivirus doesn't work anymore. So you either, you need to buy the full copy of PC Cillin, or again, use one of the free programs that are just as good, and we like recommending AVG.
I mean, even New York State Commission for the Blind recommends AVG for all of their clients, because one, it's free, it updates automatically when you connect to the internet, and it works great.
AVG.
Right. By Grissoff.
If you go to securitytango.com.
I wrote that down.
Yeah, we have a list of our software. On the other side, most of the ISPs, Frontier, Time Warner, AOL, when you subscribe to their service, they give you the ability to download free antivirus software as long as you subscribe to their service. So when you switch services, you have to remember to uninstall and install the new one. So a generic third-party one like AVG is really good.
Okay. Does Frontier offer? I have Frontier DSL, and I love it, by the way.
Thank you. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, they have free antivirus and anti-spyware program you can download.
Yeah.
They're using Computer Associates.
Yep.
I know you advertise for them, but do you recommend that over AVG?
It's whatever you're comfortable with. I mean, AVG is also a very good one. I can't say bad about either or, but
Is the second largest software company in the world.
I happen to like AVG. They're another small guy on the block that started out small. Going against the big giants, McAfee and Symantec.
Check them out. See which one you like better.
Let us know. I hear the music, and Rob's whirling his fingers around the air. I don't know if there was something up in the air that he wanted us to look at, but all I see is ceiling tiles. So can't help you, Rob. Thank you. We're just trying to keep things going.
Plugging along. And he's panicking.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever pay attention to the producer at all?
Heck no, I haven't in 17 years, and that's why Nick's here.
Excellent, I'm going home, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, honey. All right, we'll get going and let Rob do his thing and the folks with the news and everything else or whatever he's got to do or
not
commercial.
The news break yet.
Whatever, I
we'll
don't care.
We'll be back before
I
the news.
I just sit here and I do the radio show, so, I let him worry about that.
We're ready for your calls at 222-1180. Long distance on the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good. It's still morning. This is Dave Enright.
This is Dan Deary.
Steve Ray.
And Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. And we're going to go right back to the phones. I think we can probably squeeze... You're just having a good time over there, aren't you? See, we allow you to come in here.
He's poised on the phone button. He doesn't know which one we're going to push.
You know what it reminds me a lot of is when you're driving down the road and you pass an accident, or like a train wreck, you just have to look. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
So are we staring at you like an accident, or are you staring at us?
You know what they say about payback.
Yeah.
Be nice. It's the radio.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Jim.
Jim in Irondequoit. Jim, you got a question about VoIP?
Yes, exactly. What we're trying to accomplish is my kids are always on the phone, and rather getting another phone line, my son came up with this idea that's free that he can use, I guess, as VoIP technology just through an AIM phone line.
There's a couple of different ways to do it. Skype is one of the earliest, biggest ones. It's software you run on your computer and do voice telephone calls.
My understanding with that is that the only way to communicate is through someone else has to have Skype.
The free version, you have Skype at the other end, too.
Okay.
If you pay a monthly fee, it can call regular phone lines.
So we're trying to avoid the monthly fee. So would that AIM phone line work?
Well, there's all of the instant messaging clients have a voice technology. And in fact, the AIM and along with Apple's iChat has video technology. So you can do video phone chatting as well.
Just okay. So folks understand what we're talking about here, folks, is called VoIP. VoIP.
Well, not specifically. These are
generally, though,
voice over the Internet.
Voice over the Internet is what it breaks down to.
So instead of paying long distance phone calls, you can type over the Internet. Now, instant messaging has done that for years. You can type messages back and forth. And in the last couple of years, they've started adding audio chatting and video chatting. So, and that's all free based on your computer because you're already paying Internet service.
Are there any issues or security issues or any awareness?
Yeah, there's all those issues.
Yeah.
Don't say anything you wouldn't want anyone to eavesdrop on. Which is the other thing with cordless telephones. Anyone with the similar brand of cordless telephone can hear your conversations, or a common radio scanner can hear your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
The actual voice over IP technology is a different type of thing, where you plug a telephone into your internet line. And companies like Vonage offer voice over IP, where it's actually a telephone that looks like a regular telephone, uses your internet service, and they offer real low monthly rates because they're using internet lines and not telephone lines.
Well, that's
and
how they can, get away with free long distance.
Well, the telephone companies are trying to sue the voice over IP companies because they don't pay the tariffs involved in telephone networks, and the telephone companies are saying, well, they're using our long distance wires anyway because that's how the internet runs. But the least expensive free versions are the instant messaging programs like AOL and MSN.
Would you recommend something like that?
Sure, it's fine for kids chatting and talking to the grandkids. Apple's pushing video cameras now on all their computers, so
when
you can do video chatting.
When he did some research on it, he found that it wasn't available in our area, but he can take.
Well,
all he needs is a different area code, I guess.
That's something different yet. The AOL phone line is AOL providing your phone service almost. What we're talking about is the AOL instant messaging program, which is free on your computer. Doesn't matter where you are, you just have to have an internet connection. So there's several options from free to nominal charge to at least what the companies are saying is less than a full phone bill, especially if you make a lot of long distance calls.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of packages out there, even Frontier, you know, I mean.
Yeah, all the phone companies have bundled plans, too, if you make a lot of long-distance calls.
Yeah, and I mean, you might also want to check out, you know, even some of the local phone companies, whether, you know, whatever, because, you know, it sounds like he's running into something, you know, you run into.
Yep.
Dan, you're not old enough yet to have kids and, you know, needing multiple phone lines. I mean, that's just a fact of life nowadays because, you know, families trying to stay in touch. The cell phone is just becoming a very.
And there are USB peripherals. It's a USB telephone. It just looks like a regular telephone handset with a USB cable. You plug it into your computer, and it uses the AOL Instant Messenger or the Skype service, and acts like a telephone. So people who don't want to have to talk into the microphone on their computer, or they don't have a microphone on their computer, can use this USB handset.
But like you said, though, you know, like anything else, doing this over the internet. There's programs out there that, and people have no lives whatsoever, that they can sit there and listen to these conversations. Even though you might be talking to Aunt Martha and sharing recipes or talking about the latest scuttlebutt going on in the family.
I remember back in the early days again. Gee, I am getting old. We had a Bearcat scanner. To listen to the police bands and the fire bands.
I got one.
And I remember one time when cell phones, the first portable telephones were getting popular, listened to a phone call. Guy called his wife, says he's running late, hangs up, calls his girlfriend, says he's going to be right over.
We used to do that with scanners with cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, you sit in a certain part and you're right next to a tower and the conversation just boom, boom.
Now, most
of
the new cell phones use digital transmission, so they're encrypted, so it's harder to listen to.
Well, now, right,
but
back
now,
with
yeah.
the old brick
but
phones.
Back then, yeah. But a cordless portable telephone is basically a radio transmitter.
Yeah.
And they all have channels, so you can switch channels if your neighbor happens to have the same channel, but that means you can listen to your neighbor's calls.
Well, when I actually used to work in an electronics store, people came in with that sole purpose to say, what can I buy to listen to cell phone conversations? I'm not even kidding. And it's just like, you look at these people like, what are you, out of your mind?
Well, no, because
what's the people, you know, from the 70s and 80s that listened to CB radios and scanners? And
no, these people are just sick in the head.
Well, back in the 50s, when you used to have phone lines, party lines.
Party lines, yeah. You know, Mildred, can you hang up? I got to call Joe.
Yeah, and, or somebody else.
And now you pay extra to have a party line.
Yes.
Three-way calling costs more.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're showing our age, but I can remember the lady down the street used to always get mad and always think everybody was always listening to her conversations. They weren't that interesting. I listened to one time and I was like, no.
Was that back with those old crank telephone? Sorry.
You're cruising.
Well, actually, I don't have any time. That was cool on MASH. The crank was to make the other end ring. The telephone actually ran on a 9-volt battery, but you needed this big crank to make the bell ring at the other end.
I can remember my aunt, though, working at Dairy Lee, though, you know, had to work at a switchboard.
And we'll be back after the news here on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon. Yes, you are listening to Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And before we get back to the callers, we're going to do a couple other news items here. Wait a minute.
You can also pull the microphone forward.
No, I'm moving slowly.
Yeah, we all get a
little
older.
And it's not my age thing either, Rob. Well, it is, but no, I was yesterday went over and helped my sister and brother-in-law down at their cottage. I had a little accident. I banged up my knee, and it's like, man, don't bounce back like I used to when I was 20, getting older. What can I say? Well, going back to the news here, Microsoft, though, they're just not going to let up. They're still trying to defend this WGA, which is the Windows Genuine Advantage.
It's an advantage. That's why they have to defend it.
What advantage is there?
It's an advantage to them.
Well, they're running into a lot of problems right now. I mean, they a lot of legitimate copies, and this is something that we've been seeing in our shop, too. Mm-hmm. Folks that actually have legitimate copies are getting this notice because, Microsoft knows best, and, you know, they're looking out for you. Yeah, right. Are reporting you have an illegal copy. And you get this warning, and, if you don't do this, you're going to get in big trouble, and they want you to purchase and everything else. Well, Microsoft, that's all right. You know, we're just trying to protect, you know, people illegally doing it. Yeah, that's okay. But what they didn't realize is most of the reports of false positives with the WGA are due to data entry errors that were quickly, supposedly, corrected and only occurred for a short period of time. And that's reporting, over 60 million copies were deemed illegally. Hello, that's a pretty big error. But a lot of folks were now all of a sudden have this notice on there and, you know, have to deal with it. We've had, I think, what was it, at least 4 or 5, Dan?
Yeah.
Well, the danger is if you say no to the Windows Genuine Advantage, you stop getting the Microsoft security and bug updates, which you need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a catch-22. You install it and it screws up your system. You don't install it and your system gets screwed up by the next, you know, security hole.
Now,
we had
a link, though, on the Soundbites webpage, didn't we?
About how to remove it.
Yeah, how to remove.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you folks are, running into this issue because, you know, you actually do have, you know, a legitimate copy of Windows and it came with the machine. But again, it's their database and their program that was messed up that's reporting it. Oh, you're illegal. Supposedly they got it corrected. I'm not quick to believe that one yet because who knows what else might have fallen through the cracks and everything else. But like I was saying, you can go to our website. And speaking of our website, you know, we encourage you folks to go there because we got a lot of great stuff going on. Each week we have a poll of the week. And this week's poll is asking you what antivirus software you're using. And last I looked, I guess I can't refresh the screen here. Oh, wait a minute. I can do this. I'll go ahead and do it anyways. AVG, which you hear us each week. Yes, AVG is right now ahead, followed by Norton.
I love this one. With 11%, 8 votes. No, I'm going commando. 7 is other.
That's all the Mac and Linux users who don't necessarily need antivirus, but you should be running it anyway just to keep yourself safe from passing on a Windows virus.
And then McAfee is there, and then whatever came free with my broadband has got another 6 votes. Clam AV. And then the others, Microsoft has 0 votes. Good to hear that. I absolutely have no idea. Has 0 votes. So that's good to see. At least we're getting the word out, and you folks are listening.
And so, a big thing, too, for everyone that knows they are running an antivirus, open the antivirus program and look at the date on your definitions file and make sure that it's not more than a day or two old, because a lot of times it's a free trial that came with your computer you bought 5 years ago, and it expired 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so you're not running an antivirus because it isn't updating.
The other thing, folks, is you know, check out our website. We've got a lot of great stuff there. You know, we've got various links that you can, one, get the archives. So like that one listener that was having trouble recording, if you don't mind waiting a day or two, which isn't unreasonable, we have it all the way back to when we first started here on Wham. A lot of the old shows and everything else, so you can get caught up on that. We have iPod feeds. So if you're an iPod listener, you can link into that and have it downloaded. We have a link to the Security Tango, Nick's blog. We also have the show cam. My tips is in there. Let's see. What else?
There's a ton of fun stuff, too.
Yeah, we got a lot of good stuff. I mean, even check out for Tickles and Grins. I know we haven't talked about this much. It's the movie posters. We've got a lot of folks there in our forums and everything else that have taken various movie pictures and other posters and things and that, and superimposed our faces. And it's really it's a fun thing to look at, along with in the forums. So you can go in there. You know, we offer the show from 11 to 1. We can't always, get to all the questions. So if you have other questions and want to get some help, I highly suggest that you go to the Soundbites forums. And we have various categories, whether it be Windows, Linux, Macintosh, even right down to fun things and current events. Put stuff in there, and other folks will get in there and help you out. So we've got a great community out there of supportive folks that will, answer questions and all that, too. So, check it out, and let us know what you think. Again, you can also then go over to, I know since Nick isn't here right now, go over to Nick's site, because Nick offers a newsletter each week that, it's called AskNick.com, and he's got a lot of great information, and he's got his own blog out there that he tells you what's going on. He's got tips with his newsletter and everything else that's going on, so you might want to check that out. And on the poll each week, he also has that you can leave comments. Kind of keep them clean. This is over on Nick's end, and keep the comments clean. But we'd like to hear, what you've got to say about the current poll. And with that, I think we'll go back to our callers, and let's see. We'll go to Brian in Mumford. Brian, can we help you there, sir? Hello, Brian? Brian?
Maybe not.
Maybe no,
well,
Brian?
There, we hear.
Hello, Brian?
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Modern technology.
I have XP Home and Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And several of my browsers aren't working. I have Mozilla, regular Mozilla, which works, but Internet Explorer and Firefox and Opera, which I just downloaded, don't make a connection.
What service do you have? Is it
Roadrunner?
It's Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Did you check to make sure that the cable light is on your modem to make sure that you're getting a connection there?
On solid, not blinking.
Yeah. Well,
it's just weird that some
I
programs...
I have Mozilla working.
Does it work for new sites you've never been to before, so it's not just loading from cache?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. One, what antivirus program are you using?
AVG.
You got that up to date?
Yeah.
And you've run Adware and Spybot?
Yes.
And you've done the updates and that's clean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a firewall on your system?
Yeah, I got Zone Alarm.
Make sure Zone Alarm isn't blocking those other browsers.
Right. Try disabling Zone Alarm for a few minutes and see if the browsers work. You might have accidentally added Internet Explorer browser to the Zone Alarm prevent list.
Because like what we were talking about before, how it comes up and it says this program's trying to access the Internet, you might have denied one of those other browsers.
I'll try that.
And then you have to go through the Zone Alarm preference list and find those programs.
Wait, yeah,
and
you can
allow
go into
them
the open up Zone Alarm, and then there's a tab Program Control, and then it'll show you the actual programs, and you can scroll down that, and there's either X's which block it, or there could be check marks which are saying it'll allow it through. So you might want to go down that list and see whether Internet Explorer was checked as being blocked, and give that a shot and see what happens, because folks have a habit of quick, you know, clicking on it, and it's like, oh, shoot, I didn't mean to do that. I hear that a lot. All right, next we're going to Jim in Rochester. Jim, how can we help you, sir?
Question my niece posed to me. She has a Apple laptop. She's in school, will be going back to school, and she needs the ability to open Word documents and hopefully maybe create documents on her machine. It can be opened on a Windows machine with Word. I was wondering if there was a program available that would cover that.
Yeah, Microsoft Word. you can buy the Microsoft Office package for the Mac. They have a great student and teacher deal where you get three licenses for $150.
Okay.
Barring that, depending on what model computer she has, she may have a program called AppleWorks, or you can purchase that separately. It's about $60. And that's Apple's integrated program of word processing, spreadsheet, database, the whole bit. It does a lot of things Microsoft Office doesn't do, including have a database in it. But one of the things it can do is read and write Word and Excel files.
Very good.
So you can use AppleWorks to open a Word file, make your changes, and then save it back as a Word file. And that sort of becomes the trick. You have to remember to save it back as a Word file before you give it to someone. So most convenient is to purchase Microsoft Office, which, of course, is most expensive. Convenient usually is expensive.
Yeah.
There are also a couple of shareware programs. There's one called IC Word, and I think it's like $30. And it will let you open a Word file, and then you can copy and paste it into whatever word processor you're already using.
OpenOffice also, they have
right,
a Mac version.
Right,
also.
There's a couple of other Office suites, OpenOffice and NeoOffice, which are Office suites, free Office suites that you can download. They're based on Java that you can run in your computer. And again, they will open a Word file and let you save back as a Word file. So there's several different options. And if she has one of the consumer computers, the iBook or iMac, then it may already have AppleWorks included with it.
You know, this brings up another good point. I mean, you know, it's sad to say, but this
everyone, stop using Word.
No.
Down with the Microsoft hegemony.
What I'm thinking about is another avenue here is a lot of folks, you know, I mean, this week is going to be the last week in July, and a lot of kids are going to be heading back to school within a few weeks. And parents, you know, the kids brought their computers and all that home. You might want to have them check it out. Unlike one customer that we had, literally the child let them know, oh, a day before they were headed back to school, that their computer wasn't running right. If the kid is going back to school, it's going to be some distance, and the machine isn't running right, you might want to get it checked out before they head out, you know, and all of a sudden get there and have big issues, and now you're trying, you know, especially the student is out of state or, you know, the other end of the New York State here, and have that checked out to make sure that they're going to be able to have the proper tools to do their work in school. And with that, we'll go to our next caller, which is Mike in Buffalo. How can we help you out, Mike?
Oh, hi there. Hi, Steve, Dave, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm going to thank you first for moving. Well, I don't remember when the show wasn't on the 50,000 watts of Wham.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so difficult in Buffalo to catch you guys. It was almost impossible. And this is so neat. I'm sitting on Elmwood Avenue on my cell phone, and I'm enjoying it. Anyway, a friend of mine gave me a processor. It's got some bent pins. He wasn't real ginger pulling it out. And I was going to say, what kind of trick? I mean, I was thinking of using I've never done that. And I was thinking of using like a female DB connector pin to straighten it. I don't know if you get what you guys do to do that.
Really tiny jeweler screwdrivers?
Yeah, I mean.
And then hope you don't snap it off the other way when you bend it back.
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, you got to be very careful with those. One, to make sure you don't short something out, too. I mean, that is a processor, and do it under a microscope or, you know, magnifying glass, because, like I say, those pins are very small. So not something you want to do lightly. We got the music, and we got to take a break. Be back in a few moments.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Hello, I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you're listening to Sound Bites, and we'll go back to the phones. And I hope I pronounced this right. Helm? Helm from Rochester?
Helm.
Helm. Thank you.
How are you?
Very good, sir. How can we help you today?
Quick question about McAfee. The McAfee program, mm-hmm. I ran on my computer, and you know, it periodically seems to be missing worms. It seems to be not good at catching worms. In fact, it's not, and it's so bad that I did went and downloaded one of the free ones from download.com, and it removed the worms right away. Is there a training? Am I not doing something right with the McAfee, or is it not good at catching the worms? It's good at viruses, but not worms.
It's really not your fault. A report just came out. The three top antivirus programs, Symantec, McAfee, and Trend Micro, they're so well known that basically the hackers that create the antivirus programs are making ways around
the viruses.
That create the viruses, yes, are finding ways around it.
Yeah, so they know everyone has McAfee and Norton, so they figure out how to write a virus that can bypass McAfee and Norton.
Yep.
And so it's not a, you know, viruses, they just do it as a worm, and it sort of creeps along and wiggles its way in there, and it's not always going to catch it. That's where, yeah, sometimes it's not like the old days. Where, you know, things were relatively small and easy to do, and we were doing dial-ups and everything else. And viruses, yeah, you got them once in a while. Now, you know, you're constantly hearing of it being spread all over the internet and shutting companies down. And, what, CNN, all their machines were taken down by some of these worms and everything else. Because it is so big and so hard to keep up with, that's why we recommend that you know, not only do your antivirus program, but to run a couple other programs just to try to get them, like Adware and SpyBot, along with some of the others.
And some of it, too, is because of a time delay. Someone writes a worm on Thursday. It might be Friday or Monday before McAfee or Symantec can update themselves. There is a propagation. So it's even more important to make sure that you update your antivirus every day or several times a day even. Because of a virus comes out that can bypass McAfee. McAfee finds it and updates McAfee, so it catches that virus, and so you have to update your McAfee or Norton every day.
Well, they know the schedule. They know every Wednesday both, and like Dan was saying, that the three major companies do their updates. It's a well-known fact. Every Wednesday, those three companies do all their updates, so most of the virus writers wait until Thursday evening or that, to start spreading their virus, and then in hopes that it'll get spread around on Friday when everybody else is, thinking about the weekend and can't wait to get out. It gets in, gets infected, winds up taking down networks. Most of the stuff that spreads has always been on a Friday that it was discovered. And meanwhile, all these companies are trying to find ways to shut it down and isolate it and everything else. They spend the whole weekend trying to get rid of it.
So it's not necessarily your fault. And the smaller programs like AVG and Pando and Clam may have better luck at catching things because they're not as well known. So the bypasses don't come into effect.
But that's where, you know, it's due diligence in keeping up with, you know, your antivirus software. And then, like we said, to run AdAware and SpyBot.
Yeah, these hackers, too, they're actually testing them with McAfee, Symantec, and Trend Micro to make sure that the virus will get around them, too.
They can download the 30-day trial as easy as anyone else. And so my virus gets caught by McAfee, I'll keep working on it until it doesn't get caught by McAfee.
All right, here's the thing, guys, and I'd like somebody to explain this to me because it just makes no sense. They spend all this time and effort to develop something like this. They don't get paid for it.
If they'd only use their power for good. Well, a lot of times they are getting paid for it. That's a different issue now.
Yeah.
There's been a huge issue in web advertising where the virus writers and worm writers will create a worm that infects other computers and turns them into what are called zombies. And those zombies will go to a web page and read the ad. And then that counts as a click-through, so the guy who wrote the program gets paid for that ad. And there have been interviews in the trade press in the last few weeks where one guy says he works 2 or 3 hours a day and he earns $10,000 a week because he has control of 20,000 other computers that are reading the ads he gets paid to read. And my wife gets into this a little bit, too. You see these ads all the time, get paid to read advertising. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they pay you like a tenth of a penny, and mm-hmm. so you got to read thousands of them before you get any money. So someone who writes a virus, you know, hits 20,000 computers
from
reading
malware,
the ads,
yeah.
and suddenly they can earn a lot of money writing viruses these days.
But that's mm-hmm. so small. But I mean, these folks,
yeah.
though,
well, it's bragging rights. You know, Ted Koppel reads your name on the news.
But to take that knowledge though, and to do something, you know, on the smart side of it, you know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean,
it's a different mentality. We can't conceive of someone, you know, trying to harm another computer for, you know, just for the sheer joy of it.
I mean, I used to get my kicks, you know, when being a beta software tester, that we'd be able to get it to break and then fill out the report so we could, you know, get an attaboy for, you know, finding this mistake or that mistake. But it was all on the positive side that you were helping create something better that wouldn't crash, hopefully, as much. And would do its job. I mean, just a sheer thought of, you know, doing something that I'm not going to derive any money or benefit from, at least community-wise, and that, like you say, it's a very small community, the hackers and all that type of stuff.
Sure.
I just don't get it. All right, let's go to Tom in Rochester. Tom, how can we help you, sir?
Yeah, I got a new rig on Friday, picked it up at my buddy's company, and all of a sudden, when I'm watching videos with a ATI 1600 card, it'll reboot my computer after, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe. I also noticed that some of the video playback was really it looked like those 60s acid posters with real harsh colors.
Couple of things you can check. Make sure your display property is set to thousands or millions of colors. If you're set to 256 colors, it won't show color properly.
One of the other things. Now, did you put Tim? Did you put this card in yourself?
No, buddy. My buddy has a company, and I buy local. I don't buy Dell or anything like that.
But did he put this card in for you?
Yeah, his company did it. Yep.
I would check all the drivers and make sure the drivers are updated
and that they're the XP drivers. And that'll work with that particular motherboard.
Yeah, there's a lot of different combinations these days with motherboards and video cards and drivers and software and operating systems. Sometimes you'll find the Super Whiz Bang video card won't work with the Super Whiz Bang motherboard. In fact, that's one of my favorite stories of yours, Dave, about the guy who went to PC Magazine and bought the editor's choice of every piece and none of them would work together.
Yes, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that's the thing you got to, you know, work. It's kind
of it's the bleeding edge. You buy the best video card that's out now and the best motherboard that's out now, and they don't work together. In 6 months, they will as the companies update
all
their drivers.
Yeah, you kind of double check. First, I'd say, like Steve was saying, go check for updated video drivers that'll work under XP. They might have had some glitches. Check your resolution and all that. Because
yeah, I got a cranked acceleration and all that stuff. I haven't tried to play any games. I haven't loaded any games.
Turn down all the acceleration and stuff and see what happens.
Yeah, just maybe take the default settings. You could be overdriving it for that particular monitor, too.
That's a good point.
Overdriving it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, say your monitor only will run at 70 hertz and you're trying to push it to 85.
Yeah, you're cranking it to, you know, the nth degree and all of a sudden that's like overdrive for it that it's saying, it doesn't like it, and you're getting the weird colors and distortion and everything else.
Now, see, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one advantage of buying a package system from a brand company that you can still buy locally. You know, we like the HP brand because, you know, because they're sort of well known, and they're not the cheapest, but they're not the most expensive either. You're pretty sure that everything you buy in the package is going to work with each other because they did all the testing at their end.
Yeah, well, when you were talking about having the settings, I can run the computer all day long. I can stream audio all day long. But if I start watching, I was using the DivX player.
That could be part of it, too, the DivX driver for that video card.
Oh.
It may not know how to handle that specific video card yet. So the ATI 1600 is a pretty new card.
Yeah, okay. Because I haven't, only because DivX will play just about everything with
right.
no problem. I just use that, but I never, maybe I'll try stressing it with Windows Media Player, and maybe I have Real Player I should.
Yeah, try some of the other players. Try the QuickTime player. Download some of the HD content, which really pushes the bandwidth of your video. And yeah, so it may not be the card. It may be the player you're using. And that's the problem of troubleshooting this stuff.
Yeah.
Where is the problem?
Yeah, you know, it's a crapshoot. You just got to keep trying and see what you can come up with. All right, let's go to Colleen in Warsaw. Colleen, how can we help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about Windows XP. I bought a machine about 2 years ago, which means that the license for XP is just about due to expire. Now,
there is no license for XP that expires.
Oh, it doesn't?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I thought that that you had to renew like every 2 or 3 years or something.
Gates would like you to.
But
I mean, just keep sending him money. Send money. Send money. No.
Oh, I was. Oh, you don't have to renew then, huh?
Nope,
no,
not with Windows XP.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
They expected a new version to be out in 2002, and we're still waiting for it. So, XP itself is version 2002. So the Windows Vista they expected in 2004, and now they're forecasting maybe by 2007. But there are other programs like the antivirus programs we've mentioned that usually come with a year subscription, and at the end of the year you have to renew them, but not the operating system itself.
So you know, like you say, that's. What's going to be the big downfall right now? I mean, because as I was saying before, you know, a lot of vendors and suppliers, I mean, even the big companies like Dell and HP, were really counting on Vista being out there to help promote sales.
Right. Right now, there's no reason to buy a new PC. If your current PC is working fine and it's fast enough for you, there's no compelling reason. It used to be, you know, every year there'd be a faster chip and everything you wanted to do just ran so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the new operating system had all these cool new features and the industry's slowing down. Microsoft is slowing down. In fact, Apple said they're intentionally slowing down releasing new operating systems. They used to be on just about a 12 to 14 month schedule, and people got mad that they had to buy a new operating. They didn't have to, but a new operating system came out every year, and if you wanted the new features, you know, you had to buy it. So they're slowing down as well.
Wait a minute, I don't believe I'm reading this.
So right. Nothing compelling to make you buy a new computer until your old one breaks.
Talk about updates. Jack in Canandaigua, you're running Windows 95, Jack?
My wife is. My computer is a Windows XP, and we are networked in our small office.
Yeah.
And the problem was the same when I had my old Windows 98. Every time she shuts down, should she log on into the system and not as a standalone, her computer locks up when she goes to shut down. Then she has to reboot and all the rest of that jazz. Is there anything way I can do that?
There was a shutdown bug in 98.
Yeah. What type of machine do you have, Jay?
I have Windows XP right now, second edition.
Pentium 3, 4?
On this 95 machine, is it capable of being upgraded to XP?
No way.
No,
probably
I,
not. Yeah.
I don't think
Jack,
so.
Jack, what you do is you go and look for a new system. This way you're the hero. And you sacrifice giving her your system. And you'll just have to suffer with a new dual core.
The trickle down theory.
Yeah, with you know 2 gig of memory, 200 gig hard drive, DVD burner, 42-in-1 card reader. Yeah. You know you could suffer with that, maybe even a 19-inch flat panel.
But generally,
but you're giving her a faster machine.
Generally, when Windows fails to shut down, there's some program in the background that isn't quitting.
Right.
And with XP, you get the error message, this program is not responding. Do you want to end the task?
But the problem he's going to run into, 95 was dead.
Did it have?
Long well,
did
time 98, ago.
Did 95 have MS config, or was that added in 98?
No, that was it. Just 98.
Yeah, so there's no easy way to find out what programs you're running in 95 in order to figure out which one is preventing it from shutting down.
Yeah.
Yeah, just having the 95 but did you on say a network.
When you log into the network, it doesn't work. When you don't log into the network, you can shut down. You might try going into your network control panel, deleting all the network stuff, rebooting, and re-adding the network. Maybe it's not releasing itself from some network share.
Yeah. I still think you should get a right network for him. All right, we got to take a short break. Be back in another couple moments to take your calls on 1180 WHAM.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Is that better, Rob?
Hey, I'm just... Whatever.
No. I'm just curious because...
You sound beautiful.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got some swampland for you.
I think you got a defective microphone. I'm not positive.
I think so, because no matter what way I move into it, I'm right on top of it.
See, you know where you're used to is Nick just screaming, like talking really loud, you know what I mean? And then there's us
quiet.
Well, see,
now that's what makes my recording pretty tricky, because Nick is loud, Dave is soft, and so I try to be in the middle, and so I'm always tweaking the levels through the whole show.
Okay. Let's go to Bob in Pittsburgh. Bob, how can we help you, sir?
How are you?
Oh, I don't know. They keep saying I'm talking soft or whatever, but go ahead. We'll take your question.
You're soft-spoken, and you have very large sticks.
Yeah.
I have an HP 8230 laptop, relatively new, and I'm just in the process. It says, you know, creating a startup disk.
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly, what's the purpose of that, and is it pretty easy to follow through the menu, the guide you threw, pretty, you know, simply? Can I do that on my own, and what's the purpose of it?
Yeah, basically, what it's for... They don't supply the laptops with system restore disks anymore. So
okay.
they want you to make it when you first boot up the laptop.
Burn your own.
Yeah. So that you have a backup in case anything were to happen to the laptop. You have this restore point, so you can just load that disk in, restore your system to when it was like first bought.
Yeah, it saves them a few bucks in time and effort making disks to give you by having you make your own.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a way to get the cost down. And that's the other thing, though. At least you acknowledge that, you know, you got to do this, Bob. I've known a few other folks, though, that didn't take the time and effort to make those, and their system crashed. And then they call the company, and then they've got to pay another, $100 and a half.
Well, it's different from every company. We found with HP, it's about $40 to buy replacement discs. Toshiba says it's $200, yeah. Which is just buy a brand new copy of Windows and download all the drivers yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's only $40 from HP, is it saving time to just go buy? If it's $40, it's simply easier just to go buy them?
No,
because you want the other drivers, like for the video. And okay. For the sound and the network and all that, that's already there. So make those discs.
And literally, you can start it and let it run. It takes about sometimes half hour to an hour.
And put that on a rewritable disc then?
No, just like a blank DVD if it can
like
write
DVD
to DVD.
R or minus R,
yep.
Any of that.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
So that's getting to be tricky these days, that a lot of computers don't come with any discs because it saves them a little money. And then when the customer brings it into the shop, they don't have their disk. Well, it's either they didn't get the disks, they have no idea where they are. Well, we can't do anything without your Windows disk.
And they forgot that initial screen that, you know, when they were setting it up, they just clicked and said, oh, I'll get to that later, when it told them that they have to make their own disk, sets of disks. It's one of those things, well, I'll get to it later.
I remember, was it back in 98 days, one of the stores was selling a Windows 98 recovery kit, and it was 25 blank floppies. And you run the little recovery program that came with Windows, and it wrote the Windows operating system out to your 25 disks.
Or people would sit there and do the restore, and like you say, they get to just say 22 after loading the other, 21, and then it would stop working.
Can't read. Can't read disk 22.
Disk error. Disk error.
We can't finish.
Totally.
And that was, you know, about
unusable.
The time we switched from, you know, 30 floppy disks to one CD. Now we're seeing computers will come with, you know, five or six CDs because you've got the Windows, the drivers, all the bundled software they're trying to add. So we're back up to having several disks. Not as bad as in the floppy days.
Yeah.
And now, and then a lot of machines now come with a couple of DVDs instead of a handful of CDs.
Sure.
Yep. So we'll have to start. What's next? In fact, what was it? Sony just released a Blu-ray compatible DVD burner for computers. It's $750, so it's less than they thought it would be. But it puts 50 gigabytes on a single Blu-ray disc and also does the standard CD and DVD.
Well, that's where they want to do into the DVD recorders or,
right.
You know, for home.
It's such a high capacity that you can put the high-definition video on it.
Yep.
So it's sort of the fight now is between the HD DVD and the Blu-ray DVD. So now Sony's got a combo unit that does Blu-ray and all the current minus R and plus R formats.
Cool.
All right, let's go to Greece and talk to Paul. Paul, how can we help you, sir?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
That's
I love
great.
Your show.
Thank you.
Me and my wife just we didn't recently, but back in January, purchased a newer computer. It's running Windows XP, and we were going with a dial-up service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently they said, hey, we can give you, for the same price, a broadband. So on Thursday we switched to their broadband. Now what's happening is we'll be online, and it'll boot us off, and then when it goes to reconnect, it won't reconnect. And it's giving me a couple different errors, and one of the main errors is it's saying that there may be a firewall issue.
That's almost a generic error. If any program can't get to the internet, it thinks your firewall is set too high.
Okay.
But it could be that your firewall is set too high.
Yeah.
Well, it's right now it's set on medium. Okay. Now, here's a couple other things. I'm using their access to it, their browser. I did have Firefox. It told me that there may be some issues with Firefox, so I uninstalled Firefox. And then it's still giving me this problem. Another problem it's given me is that my wife can't access certain web pages. It's saying 404 could not find Internet Explorer.
What antivirus software are you using?
I'm using the one that came with the service. It's McCafferty.
Okay.
It sounds like there's something more wrong inside the machine.
That's why I'm wondering whether they're using their firewall service.
Well, I can give you a couple different errors that it's given me.
That, you know, maybe that
could... Well, one test is to turn off the firewall for a few minutes and see what happens. If those sites work again, then you know it is the firewall.
Okay.
And clear out the cache.
Yeah, the basic stuff, empty your cache and temporary internet files. Okay. And it wouldn't hurt to run a Tango scan with Adaware and Spybot to make sure you haven't got any...
Yeah, those are two other utilities. Even though you've got this other stuff with the service provider, having those extra two utilities really do help.
Okay, now I've had, like I said, I didn't have any problems until we switched to broadband.
Now, it says it's AOL with broadband. If it is, sometimes you can just quit the AOL service. I know it's a pain with email addresses and stuff, but you can just go with straight Roadrunner or Frontier, whatever. When
yeah, whichever broadband service you're getting. I've also seen, and I know we're running out of time, I've seen problems because the AOL database doesn't fully link into the Time Warner database. So Roadrunner is not letting you in because it doesn't know you're a subscriber. You may have to call Roadrunner to make sure you're on the AOL list to let the AOL broadband through.
Yeah. All right. Hope that helps, Paul. I'll tell you what, we got to take a short break. We'll be back in a couple of moments on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Dan Deary.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Wait till I tell Nick what you've done when he comes back.
We're going to talk to your mother.
No, you talk to my mother. I'm 26 years old. Leave my mother out of this.
She'll set you straight.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. If Nick only knew.
Hey, she takes care of us. She always sends in
with the cookies. Yeah, I know, the cookies. And what do I do?
And I take care of her computer problems. So that you don't even take care of my computer.
You don't take care of my computer problems. I got to bring you cookies?
Your mother.
Oh, okay.
I take care of her. She sends in the cookies because she takes good care of us.
Unbelievable.
Well, so now the people that know better know they can bribe the technician. You bring a pizza along with your computer, you'll get your computer back faster.
Sure. Wait a minute. Tell me that hasn't been true in radio for a long time.
Yeah, it's called payola. It's against the law. Any questions?
No. Not for food.
Oh,
Well, if you have a food sponsor, then that's
yeah. I don't know. We won't get into that right now. Yeah, but yeah, true. Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, you're right.
So put away that food and you know all that stuff. And I'm just kidding. Yeah,
don't eat near the
computer. I'm gonna bring
though.
Her. I'm gonna
actually
you know what?
Let me bring that up. Don't eat near your computer. We get so many computers in with spills on them,
crumbs,
crumbs in the keyboard, desktops.
Oh, we've done two
that's
keyboards
I,
lately
I have soda
for
with
laptops.
I have soda with a cap on it. I screw the cap back down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we literally just this week had two laptops that they just spilled a little.
And then somebody takes a hairdryer to it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, what the kid does, my son actually did this on my own computer at home. In fact, he says it was the cat. I'm saying it was him. spilled water in it and didn't tell anybody. So I get home and you know the computer's not working. You turn the computer off real quick. And empty the keyboard out, let it dry for a few days, it might still work again. But you leave it sitting in there waiting to short something out, it's definitely going to fail.
There was one individual that's on the air, and I won't mention names, took a hairdryer.
I know, that's what I was referring to as well, but I didn't want to mention
and
names.
And but it was okay to use a hairdryer. Maybe 6 inches or better away from it, not right
on
the
low
keys.
Heat, yeah.
It's the best way to see these keys. Just
we had a, we had a,
right
a,
on up.
We had a computer. We're not sure what happened, but it never went to sleep when he closed the lid, put it in the bag, and all the heat from the laptop bag contained itself in the computer, and the keyboard melted.
Jeez.
Plastic.
Cool.
Yeah, plastic keys. They all melted off when he opened it up. The rest of the computer was fine.
Didn't melt the bag?
No, it didn't melt the bag, and we were able to put a new keyboard on, and the computer worked fine. So it overheated enough to melt the keyboard, but not enough to damage the computer.
Well, that's the thing, though, with these laptops.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the stuff. I'll turn the laptop on its side, take some compressed air, blow it out, all the crumbs and hair and dirt that falls out of it.
It's unbelievable. And so because they are so small and so compact, usually folks are drinking right over the center of it. So right around the F, G, and H keys. You know, and that's where the mouse, sometimes on some of these, the eraser mouse is, and there's a direct hole right on down to the circuitry, it gets messed up. Well, folks, it sounds like this is going to be the end of another great show. Yeah, even with the help of you, Rob, we did it. Of course, Nick wasn't here. He will be back next week. And you're smiling in there. Why?
No more cookies for you. I'll make sure of that.
I will be emailing your mother. She will be setting you straight so you can take that grin and get it off that face. You probably have a big angel food cake delivered next week and all this other stuff. I'll check it out. Yeah, you can smile. Well, we wanted to thank all you folks for tuning in this week for Sound Bites. It's been a rip. Had a lot of great time here. I want to thank Dan for filling in, and we'll see you folks next week on Soundbites.